your young children are forced to work. They are forced to be used for labor, for other tasks. Why? Because the affairs are going in the wrong direction now. Now that they are going the wrong direction, other things are happening together. What you have joined are getting cut off. Now children also have to be used in different affairs of the society, in different tasks.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now, Imam Ali says this is a definite possibility. He says, do not see that right now everything is going on nicely, you have planned something well, and because of that plan that you have made, right, all the connections that you have made and all the different intricate, detailed plans that you have made are all going nicely in their path and you're enjoying the state, right? But be careful. Expect this to completely become unraveled and to be completely have the opposite results. And why do I say so? It's because there might be some errors that you perform that lead to the destruction of this system that you have made. Or no, you're not aware of all of those factors that can lead to the success of this particular project. Because of that, you need to at least remind yourselves as a leader and the people that do not always have the highest expectations with regards to what you're doing. Now, for this particular situation, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that why does it happen that sometimes things go in the opposite direction? Why the things that you connect, they become separated? Why sometimes a society reaches such a level whereby the young children are also forced to work? Why? ذَاكَ حَيْثُ تَكُونُ ضَرْبَةُ السَّيْفِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أَهْوَنُ مِنَ الدِّرْهَمِ مِنْ حِلِّهِ. That is when it becomes easier for a person to strike a person and his believing brother with a sword than to earn some money in a halal way. That means halal earning becomes more difficult than fighting with your believing brother. This is a situation of conflict in the society. Inshallah, we shall discuss this about this more in the coming sessions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 14th verse of Surah An-Naml.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
And we had certainly given to David and Solomon knowledge. And they said, Praise is due to Allah, who has favored us over many of his believing servants.
So, in the previous episodes regarding the previous verses, we mentioned shortly the story of the people of Pharaoh. They were the people who were transgressing. Their prophet Moses, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alihi salam, was granted from the side of the Almighty Allah with 9 different kinds of miracles, but they denied him. They denied him and they brought forth false accusations. They called it clear sorcery, and he called him a sorcerer, although he was the prophet of the Almighty Allah, and although their hearts acknowledged the fact and his prophethood. So why did they deny it? Because of ظلم and علوب, as the previous verses suggested. Now, that story is not explained in detail, since in the other parts of the Holy Quran, we have many other verses discussing the story of Prophet Moses. Now, the 15th verse starts with the story of Prophet Solomon, who inherits from David. So the verse says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا And certainly, we gave David and Solomon knowledge, and they both said, وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And they said both, Praise belongs to Allah, who has favored us above many of His believing servants. So, the fact of the matter is this knowledge. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. What is this kind of knowledge? The knowledge which has been given to David and Solomon may be the kind of knowledge which is called judgment. Its reference is the verse which it says, and we gave him wisdom and a clear judgment. And also with reference to the verse which says, and unto each of them we gave wisdom and knowledge. And from these verses we can understand that it may be the knowledge of speaking with the birds with reference to the verses that explain this kind of knowledge. The verses, for example, say, we have been taught the language of the birds. Or it may be the knowledge of making the coat of mail, as the Holy Quran says. And we taught him the art of making the coat of mail. Anyway, it is better to render this Quranic word, ilm, in a general sense. That is, the knowledge of administration of the country. So, this is what we believe could be most probable.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine.
In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
حفظ الكتاب بصدره فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. So, brothers and sisters, this verse starts saying, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. And certainly we gave David and Solomon knowledge. The 15th verse of chapter Naml. What is this knowledge? There are different kinds of probabilities and possibilities and interpretations when we look at the different verses of the Holy Quran regarding the explanation regarding this kind of knowledge. But this verse speaks about two other great divine prophets, David and Solomon. Of course, there is only a hint to David, but Solomon is explained more as we will turn to later on. Mentioning a part of the life story of these two prophets next to the story of Moses, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, could be for the sake that these two prophets were from among the prophets of the children of Israel too. So the difference between their story and the history of other prophets could be that these were more successful to establish a kind of great government because of the mental and social receptivity of the atmosphere of the children of Israel. And they could expand the divine religion by the help of their governmental power. Anyway, we believe that the style of explanation of the life story of
other prophets who encountered the severe opposition of their nations, and sometimes they were expelled from their home and city, is not seen here, and the explanations are actually totally different. And this clearly shows to what extent the difficulties may be solved and the path can be rendered into level if the divine colors succeed to form a kind of government. However, here the words are about knowledge, ability, power, dignity. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودُ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. And certainly we gave David and Solomon knowledge. So it speaks about submission of the birds and other creatures. Finally, about the severe struggle against idolatry through the way of logical invitation, and then enjoying the power of government. And all these things are the qualities that separate the life story of these two prophets from that of the others. We will explain more in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, and that's when faith begins.
Economic divide.
BRICS is a grouping of countries that will make a lot of noise this year. One of the breakouts will be the introduction of a national currency, which will pose a challenge to the U.S. dollar. Will this actually impact the Western-dominated system and give it a run for the money, as it's, the saying goes? Also, a look at the introduction of a new payment system using blockchain technology. Just a couple of the angles we'll be looking at in this edition of Economic Divide. Some of the highlights coming up: the BRICS payment system, blockchain technology, digital innovations. It'll penetrate the international monetary framework. That's what it says it's going to do. We have to wait and see whether that will happen or not. Next, the monetary system that this will create, it will be one free of politics. Also, the use of national currencies and de-dollarization, which is an important drive behind this new monetary system, which will include a new BRICS currency. Then we move on to the interest that lies for BRICS and joining this alliance. New memberships, nearly 36 new countries are interested to join this bloc. Does this mean it's a break with the West? Time now to take a look at the social media post on this. First up, is the world moving away from the US dollar? I've got a bad feeling about this, including there will be bank failures. U.S. Fed Chair, BRICS, CBDC, Bank Term Funding Program, Blank Check, Dodd-Frank, bail-ins, discover the facts about central bank digital currencies. Very interesting post, actually. It named a lot of controversial type financial, I guess, terms here. Next, the Bank of America has issued a major warning of the U.S. dollar's potential collapse. Another one that covers the dollar. This is due to the U.S. debt rising by $1 trillion every 100 days, and the BRICS economy driving Eastern countries away from the dollar. then the West is exhausting itself trying to hold power. Russia is making them look weak. China is watching them destroy themselves. BRICS is growing and challenging the dollar. Israel has totally lost their minds. The global majority stopped obeying. The empire is dying. Wow, that's a mouthful. Then BRICS to control 37% of the world's GDP. They aim to de-dollarize the globe and strengthen local currencies. We could be looking at an entirely different world soon. Notice how many of these posts actually cover the dollar. All right, let's bring in our guest for our first Q&A. Joining us is Gulruz Sheikh. He's a geopolitical expert. Gulruz Sheikh, welcome to Economic Divide. The BRICS Alliance, you're very, I'm sure, familiar with it because it includes countries like Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Now, they're planning to collaborate on developing this payment system, which uses the blockchain technology, also digital innovations. This is part of a broader strategy. What is this system all about? Tell us basically how this is going to work.
Yes, the BRICS grouping is working on blockchain technology and digital payment system, and this is basically to exert its monetary influence across the geopolitical and geo-economical spectrum, but it is also a tool to keep the BRICS economies safe from the Western hegemony and the Western dominated economic system, because they have basically weaponized the dollar, they have weaponized the Western financial system, be it SWIFT or others. Today they may be good with any country, but tomorrow if they are on odds on any topic with you, they can sanction you. And the best example we have seen is this example of Russia, the way they put it out of the SWIFT system, the way they barred it from using the dollar system, and this shows that nobody can be safe and nobody can have a guarantee that tomorrow they are not going to sanction you on any particular issue. So this is a system which will be actually free from Western hegemony, which will be free from sanctions, and it will give more geopolitical and geo-economical and financial autonomy to the BRICS countries.
All right, very well. Thank you so much for that. Let's bring in our next guest. We have Thambisa Fakuda, who's a senior research fellow, Africa-Asia Dialogue, chief executive officer at the Mail and Garden newspaper, who joins us. Thambisa Fakuda, welcome to Economic Divide. Russia has made some statements about this new blockchain technology for the payment system, and he says that there was actually a need for this, that the general population needs to use this because it's one of the major factors is that's free of political influence and economically efficient. And also, he emphasized increasing settlements in national currencies. Do you think this is all about de-dollarization?
Well, I think it's a good effort, but I don't think, for example, a country like South Africa will go for de-dollarization, but what they will do is to look for an alternative currency. So in other words, they will avoid to be seen as being hostile towards the dollar, rather go towards a currency that's going to be used and accepted, as we discussed, including by President Xi Jinping of China, that there is a need for BRICS countries to have their own alternative currency. But I think the process forward will not be to de-dollarize business, because that seems and sounds very harsh and hostile towards countries that many of these BRICS countries still enjoy relationships with. But I think what is likely to get a softer landing in terms of introducing this new currency within BRICS will be to push for a new currency that will be used within the BRICS members. So Iran, of course, has got its own political agenda, in inverted commas, in terms of ensuring, which is correct, by the way, supported by many African countries, the de-dollarization is key. But I think countries like South Africa will be wary of being seen to be jumping on the bandwagon and fighting the new cause of de-dollarization. Instead, I think they are likely to look at an alternative currency.
U.S. inequality. America's top 1% gets $2 trillion richer. It's said the combined wealth of the richest people in the U.S. has grown to $44.6 trillion. Now, it's interesting to note that in the fourth quarter of 2023, they saw their combined net worth rise by around $2 trillion. That's a major chunk. Next up, U.S. supply chains. Well, by now, you're probably familiar with the U.S. Baltimore Bridge collapse. The bigger problem is how the U.S. supply chains have been disrupted by this collapse. It has cut off ocean routes to the city's major port and is expected to cause severe disruptions to local transport and logistics and also global supply chains. Our take, the Baltimore Bridge collapse underscores aging infrastructure. While the U.S. spends billions of dollars on Ukraine, military assistance to other countries, and the maintenance of over 700 military bases. Next up, the Islamic halal economy. The global halal economy is on the rise, and it has an increase in demand. This has fueled more opportunities for investment in Sharia-compliant ways. The global Islamic halal economy is reportedly set to reach a market value of $7.7 trillion by the year 2025, more than double the $3.2 trillion that reached in 2015. And finally, is a U.S. housing crisis on the surface? And the question asked in this entry, is the U.S. media layoffs a phenomenon pointing towards the next housing crisis? The media sector's challenges amplify shadow banks' toll on the U.S. economy and also mirror the 2008 housing crisis. While the media business is in the spotlight now, it is a microcosm of a bigger challenge across the economy, like the massive tech layoffs.
You're listening to Economic Divide. This series looks at the financial health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economic Divide on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
The BRICS bloc has announced that it will work on creating a new payment system. What is this new payment system and how will that affect trade for BRICS countries? Let's take a look at that. First up, this new payment system that BRICS has announced will be based on what's called blockchain and digital technologies. Now, the definition of that is an advanced database mechanism that allows transparent information sharing within a business network. A blockchain database stores data in blocks that are linked together in a chain. Now, the next thing is how this new system is going to settle trade and transactions, and it will effectively become an alternative option to the U.S. dollar. The fact that this is going to be free of the U.S. dollar has been put under the microscope as to whether it's going to be able to do that or not. The introduction of a national currency, however, is going to speed that process up. Next, how this move is going to be absolutely crucial in helping the bloc trade in these local currencies, and it will help them reduce their reliance on the dollar. So the dollar issue again, and to be free from the shackles of it, remains a pivotal reason. Next, the BRICS financial system, well, it will allow the member countries to completely avoid using any of the Western transfer systems, such as SWIFT. SWIFT is the most prominent one. For example, the BRICS announced that the system will be available to countries and to businesses and even to people, and that's going to set it apart from the Western-dominated financial system. So basically, there needs to be no restrictions placed on the financial system that's going to be introduced by the blockchain technology for BRICS countries. Let's bring back our guests and see what they think. Gourish Sheikh rejoins us. He is a geopolitical expert Gloria Sheikh, welcome back to Economic Divide. A lot of interest has been channeled towards BRICS and new members, notably countries like Saudi Arabia and like Iran, for example, to have joined now the BRICS alliance. Why is there such an interest in this organization, do you think, in the first place? And some of these countries actually have financial ties to the West.
See, if you look at BRICS, it's a rising star. As well, and if you look at G7, it's setting right now. And right now, all the major economic activities are going on in the global south, because with the rise of multipolar world order, the countries of south, the global south, are demanding their rights. They are working towards technology, they are working towards manufacturing. They were already doing a lot of work when it comes to commodity. They are having minerals with them, they are also having manpower. Do not forget that demographics are best in the global south compared to the global north. So any country will like to sit in the camp of those people who are progressing. And if you look at the GDP, right now BRICS GDP is more than that of G7. And if you look at G7, it used to be G8 when Russia was also there. Now they had also thrown out Russia from G8 and made it G7. So barring Japan, it's basically an Anglo-Saxon grouping. They cannot expand themselves. They have reached their limit because it is an Anglo-Saxon grouping. They don't have any more or any other Anglo-Saxon country which can be included in the G7 grouping.
All right, thank you for that. Let's now bring back our next guest, Tambisa Fakuda, who's a senior research fellow, Africa-Asia Dialogue, and chief executive officer at the Mail and Guardian newspaper. Tambisa Fakuda, welcome back. When you take a look at the grouping of BRICS, there are many options that are opened because of the fact that there's so many different promises that are being made when it comes to, for example, the BRICS payment system, blockchain technology, and also the introduction of a national currency. Even though you have countries dealing in the national currencies, what is the main appeal when it comes to BRICS to align themselves into one grouping? Of course, you have the five major economies that are leading this group.
I think they're very close, and I don't think they contradict the current systems that we have. Instead, you're going to have more competitiveness in terms of the global currency exchanges. So from the South African perspective, I think they see this as an addition towards that market competing, because there are quite a number of these products that are involved in currency transfers and payment systems globally. So this one is a new one, and this one, of course, will include a different type of countries compared to what we've seen in the past. So I think it's going to be a welcome move, and many African countries will have an alternative now and a sense of ownership in terms of participating in this business of worldwide transfer of and payments for goods and services.
The BRICS alliance is a grouping of countries that cannot be ignored, since this alliance is not just comprised of five countries which have a lot to offer when it comes to the global economy. The BRICS alliance, once considered a peripheral entity, is now at the forefront of forging a new world order, challenging the status quo and proposing alternatives that could lead to significant shifts in global alliances and economic practices. Throughout 2023, the bloc, which includes powerhouse countries like Iran, Russia, India, China, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and South Africa, has taken significant strides in reshaping the global power balance. The addition of six new countries, including Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Iran, Egypt, and Ethiopia, has bolstered the alliance's influence.
We see the BRICS partnership as a catalyst for global growth and development and response to the needs of all nations.
One of the major announcements that BRICS will be making this year is the introduction of a native currency. But how will this impact the current financial system, especially the Western-dominated system? There is no doubt that this currency could challenge the dominance of traditional financial systems and foster a more multipolar world order if realized. The introduction of a BRICS-specific currency, whether digital or fiat, could redefine global trade dynamics and unilateral settlements. This move would also align with the bloc's ongoing efforts to challenge the dominance of traditional financial powerhouses and foster a more multipolar world order. It would be very simple-minded to think that the introduction of a BRICS currency would take off and for there not to be disruptions in the day-to-day trade between countries from within BRICS or with countries who are not BRICS members. The BRICS currency does offer a new avenue for international transactions, especially for countries looking to bypass traditional financial channels. It also represents a significant step towards the de-dollarization of global trade, long-standing goal of several BRICS members. However, the success of such a currency would depend on various factors, including its acceptance by international markets and its ability to provide stability and security in financial transactions. And that does it for this quick take section.
Finally, BRICS is going to shake up the financial system that's dominated by the West. There's no doubt about that, given how so many countries are queuing up to join the alliance. The West in particular, the U.S., for example, will continue to use the dollar as a weapon and impose sanctions on countries that don't follow its lead. That's going to lead to more countries' desire to join BRICS. That does it for this edition of the program. Thank you so much for being with us. BRICS is a very hot topic for us here. Let me cover Tatley and the team here at Economic Divide. It's goodbye. Until the next program.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept your du'as and worships in the month of Ramadan. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You know, in the sermon that the Prophet had given to welcome the month of Ramadan, there's a line in here that's very beautiful. We talked about it a bit last night, where he says, "Ayyuhan nas," that all mankind, he was addressing people, describing the merits of Shahru Ramadan, where he says, "Inna abwab al-jinan fi hadha shahri mufattaha, fa as'alu rabbakum an la yughlikuha." He says that, all mankind, the doors of heaven are wide open for you in this month. Therefore, ask Allah not to close them for you. And then he says, وَأَبْوَابَ النِّيرَانِ مُغَلَّقَةٌ فَاسْأَلُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَنْ لَا يُفَتِّحَهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. And the doors of hell are closed, so ask Allah to keep them closed for you. وَالشَّيَاطِينَ مَغْلُولَةً فَاسْأَلُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَنْ لَا يُسَلِّطُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. And shaitan is imprisoned in this month. So ask Allah or ask your Lord not to let him have power over you. Part of the beauty that we have enjoyed in this month are these gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The doors of heaven were open to us. That means we could have attained anything within that if we wanted. The doors of hell were closed. That means that punishment was far away from us. And shaitan was locked away or imprisoned. Obviously, we felt temptations, we felt whisperings, but really those are the outcomes of our own manipulation of shaitan already, really, you know, habits more than anything else. But there is no doubt that we would, if we look at the lifestyle and the ability to focus in the month of Ramadan that is sometimes lost outside the month of Ramadan, it's an environment that we should perpetually try to be in. And this is why asking Allah for these things is important. So today, ask for these things. It's really important, yeah? That in this Jummah, after you make dua, these are some of the duas the Prophet has told us to ask in this month. To keep the doors of heaven open for us, to keep the doors of hell closed for us, and to not have shaitan give us authority or have power over us. But you know, when we talk about these duas, or even what the Prophet had said in the dua of Wida, that you will either be granted life until next Ramadan or you'll be embraced in His mercy. These are du'as that we make. These are promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are there. But they are all dependent upon how we act in this world. Right? So all of these things, like when we say our sins are forgiven, yeah, immediately they are forgiven, but immediately I'll go and sin. So my sins are already adding up. Right, so it's not like I'm forever forgiven or forever on a clean slate. But rather, you know, it's up to us to back up our dua with action. Right? And this is the responsibility that you and I have now. Right? It just can't be about, Ya Allah, keep the doors of heaven open for me. Keep the doors of hell closed for me. But yet I go back to my own lifestyle. Right? If I do, then these duas will not be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I haven't shown the capacity to receive these gifts from God. It's a very beautiful hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Muhammad. He was asked about the verse of Allah, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call me and I will answer you. It's a promise from God. Call me and I will answer you. So he was asked, فَمَا بَالُنَا نَدْعُوا فَلَا نُجَابْ. He says, then what about us? We keep asking Allah for things, and our du'as are not being answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, لِأَنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ خَانَ. He says, because your hearts have been treacherous. Yeah? And he gives numerous examples, but I just want to share two of them with you to highlight the point that we have made. He says, أَنَّكُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِرَسُولِهِ. He says, you have believed in the Prophet. He's talking to us, huh? We have believed in the Prophet. We have said he is Khatamun Nabiyyin. We said he is the mercy of all mankind. But then the Imam says, ثُمَّ خَالَفْتُمْ سُنَّتَهُ. But then you went against his sunnah and decided to act however you wanted. So he said, فَأَيْنَ ثَمَرَةُ إِيمَانِكُمْ. So where is the effect of that iman of yours? Yeah? When you don't listen, when we don't listen to the teachings of the Prophet, that iman has no value. And if I don't do what God wants, what makes me think God will do what I want? Yeah? He says in another part, أَنَّكُمْ كَرَأَتُمْ كِتَابَهُ الْمُنْزَلِ. That you have read His revealed book. فَلَمْ تَعْمَلُوا بِهِ. Yeah, but you did not act upon that book. He says, then why would Allah answer your du'as for you? Right? My brothers and sisters, du'as have to be backed up with action. Yeah? Any du'a that I make, I have to show Allah that I am worthy to receive this and that I will use it correctly to make the life of myself and others better. And this is what I want us to leave here with. That let us have a lifestyle that is consistent with what Allah expects from us. A lifestyle that is consistent. We're not asking for miracles here. Yeah, we're not asking for that which becomes cumbersome in our lives. You know, sometimes we may add too many mustahabbat and we feel like, oh, I think I've done too much, you know, like you stretched wrong or something, you know. Simple, two-step formula. Yeah. Avoid that which is haram, do that which is wajib. That's it, man. That's it. That's not hard. Yeah? That's really not hard. Don't look at me like it's hard. It's not hard. Yeah? Avoid that which is haram. You know something is haram. You know a dress code is haram. You know listening to this is haram. You know eating this is haram. You know speaking this is haram. You know watching this is haram. Nothing is foreign to us. Nothing is news to us. We're like, oh, I didn't know this. No, we know everything, right? We know what degree the moon rises, subhanallah. We know everything, right? We can avoid that which is haram, right? We just have to make the decision to avoid it. A change in lifestyle. If that's what's required, that's what's required. But if I expect me to have a healthy relationship with God, then I got to do what God wants from me. Stop that which is haram. And secondly, have raghba for that which is wajib. Yeah, not just do the wajib, but have a desire for it. Like, I can't wait to do what God wants me to do. Man, that mentality is unique. Not many have it, right? To wake up and be excited to go pray Fajr. Yeah, to be excited to fast, to be excited to give khums, to be excited to give charity. But once we develop that desire to be excited in worshipping God, then these two things will develop capacity within us. And when that capacity is developed, there is nothing holding us back from receiving every bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For God will know we will use those bounties correctly. I pray you have a very mubarak last few hours of Shahru Ramadan. Spend this time in a little bit of conversation with God, make some dua to Him, ask Him for His assistance, and pray most importantly for the Imam of our time, because all of these things will become united when the Imam of our time comes, inshaAllah.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb. Laytaka dawman qareeb.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-7 6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio. Here is Viewpoints. I'm Hadi Sarabi, your host. In the history of mankind, there are people who want to oppress others. In the society or all around us, we can find examples of it. Sometimes we fight back, sometimes we quit. But what do you do if you are told to give up your country? In today's episode, we are going to talk about a nation who were told to leave, but instead stayed and fought back and suffered and lots of other things happened. Still stayed for more than 70 years. And today, after these many years, their voices are beginning to be heard. Today, we talk about a nation of courage and sacrifice, Palestine. Let's welcome our guests. Dear brother Ali, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this is awesome to have you here with us. And Dr. Rouhani, like always, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, this is great to have you here. We are seeing that the different incidents are happening in the world. People from Palestine have returned stronger than before. And they're fighting back. Do you think, let me ask it in this way. Should they continue this way? I mean, so many people are being killed.
Yeah.
Shouldn't sit together, isn't it time to sit together and talk, and or losing lives is the only way?
Well, this is a good question, bro. Look, when a right is being violated, then the only way to take back your right is to defend and is to try your best. Mm-hmm. In the last 8 decades, I can say, or 7 or 8 decades, we saw that, I mean, people tried different ways. So those who were afraid of, for example, they're being killed, I mean, they tried to reach to a sort of compromise. Mm. Some different ways have been experienced. But I think from the day one, the issue of resistance should have come up with this mentality and this solution. I mean, if they are after a peaceful solution, the solution has been already set. That is,
you know,
the
mean,
real inhabitants and the original inhabitants.
Yeah, sometimes you start fighting.
Now that everything is over, I mean, everything has been lost, I think the only way to take back your own right is to resist. I mean, yes, you might give something, but you will take your own right back. Look, we have something in traditional medicine, which is called hijama. Hijama means to take some portion of blood for your own body. But this hijama actually guarantees your health.
I know. I understand what you're talking about. But the point is that sometimes you see that you're losing everything and you're gaining, maybe you don't gain something now.
Why maybe? For sure you will gain. Where this maybe has come
from.
So
this is it.
Definitely.
So I want you to talk about it.
Look, in the story of the Battle of Badr, the number of Muslims were 313, right? Mm. By the other side, the infidels, how many they were? Almost 10 to 12,000.
Okay.
So they could say by themselves, maybe we miss, maybe we get defeated. So it's not rational to stand in front of them.
Okay.
But right after the battle, when Muslims actually won, the Holy Prophet ask the captives, not those who have been killed, ask the captives, how did you see Muslims in your eyes? They were saying that we saw every one of you with many people behind them, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing happened in the story of Talut and Jalut. The number were also 313, and the other side, more than 4,000 something, right? But what happened? Who was the winner of the game at the end of the day? Look, Allah's promise is there. كَمْ مِنْ فَأَةٍ قَلِيلًا غَلَبَتْ فَأَةٍ كَثِيرًا.
Of course.
So don't look at your number, which is very few, but look at Allah's promise when He promised in case that you step ahead for Allah's sake, Allah will compensate for you, and Allah will help you.
Okay.
Allah will assist you. You don't need to get frustrated. In our ideology, we have no place for hopelessness because we fully trust in Allah's promise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we can trust Allah's promise in this way. Even if you are killed, it is ahdal husnain. That is, we are prosperous.
So you mean when you are when with these bloodshed, with these, I mean, we are seeing children are being killed, and this is not a very, you know, something that everyday like.
Yeah.
Babies are killed. You know, this is happening right now.
True.
And then you consider all these gains.
Look, bro. Even we are not going to be afraid of, for example, kids being killed. This is very dreadful for us. We see our kids are being killed daily, in a daily basis. But this is not something that we get frightened from.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Look, even look, this Ahd al-Husnain concept, which is a Quranic concept.
Okay.
Even if we are killed and martyred, this is a prosperity for us, right, bro?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, even if you are killed, but we are gaining, I mean, what is, even, look, with this mature calculations, Imam Hussein was a loser in the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, okay.
Look, because Imam Hussein got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But yeah. Whose name is now very high, Hussein or Yazid?
You mean more famous in the world?
And we have seen the kid of Imam Hussein, a six-month child of Imam Hussein was killed.
Okay.
So could we say, okay, Hussein, your kids, your family members are being killed.
Okay.
Stop it.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we take the lessons from that story, and mm-hmm. we are going to implement that story in our real life today. For that number of people, for example, who were, for example, altogether 72 people, 18 from his family were killed.
Okay.
So could we say such a thing to Hussein?
Okay, this is, you know, something we can think about at least.
So, it's good for us as a Muslim, ideologically, we need to trust whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. His assistance is there, is with us. We need to step in Allah's way.
Uh-huh. So this is it. You have to have a belief, a very confirmed one, and then start taking actions and fight for your beliefs. And sometimes you have to sacrifice.
You might be saying, okay, why should we go directly to this solution? This was the first day solution, brother, but we postponed it. But we have even tried those, peaceful solutions that comes from the Western side. But did they work out? At the end or not? We didn't see any outcome from that.
Mm-hmm.
All these 8 decades, almost, they tried to deceive people. And they gave them nothing. Now look at the map of the Palestine.
Okay.
What is the portion of Palestinians, the original Palestinians, in that map? So it decreases day by day, and they are getting
little
limited
by little,
day by day.
It gets
so what,
smaller and smaller.
So they have already gone for the solutions that you are talking about, bro.
No. Okay.
Right? But there is no, there was no result and no consequence in that.
Yeah, this is, exactly what you mentioned is very important, and that was very well said. But I would like to, something that comes to my mind, and I would like to ask this from Dr. Rouhani. Is it right to say it in this way? Correct me if I'm wrong. That sometimes you believe in something, and it's a very confirmed and very something that is rooted in your heart, and you believe in it, and it's something in accordance with Allah's way. So you step in this road, and this road sometimes you lose, and sometimes sometimes you have to sacrifice everything, and then you have to wait and see what happens.
It has at least two different kind of aspects. You know, if you are in a normal situation, normal conditions, Of course, you have to have some pre-planned kind of things. You have to have fully preparation. You have to first empower yourself. Mm-hmm.